Hi everybody, JP here, and you're probably wondering, where is the next episode of the 22 Shots podcast? Well, that episode does not exist yet, but it will exist next week if everything goes as according to plan. We was unable to record an episode this week. We love recording the show, but sometimes things just come up, and this week it was my axle in my car. It broke, and Moods' furnace also broke. And it's the middle of winter up there in Canada, so he kind of needed that. So we had to put the show on hold, deal with some bullshit. So after that, we regrouped and rescheduled for next week. We still have the same show planned. It's A Boy and His Dog, which happens to be Jeremy's favorite post-apocalyptic film next to Gummo, where a boy and his telepathically linked dog go around looking for some vajayjay. But this week, I decided to dig through the crypt and find something that, actually, I had it for quite a while. I've been saving this clip, and I didn't know what to do with it. I had no idea how I was going to ever use this clip, but I thought it was an interesting conversation, so I was looking for a way to implement it into the 22 Shot show, and I figured, why not do it when we couldn't put out an episode as kind of a bonus show? Not really a show, but it's just some bonus content, and a little backstory on this clip. This was back in the summer of 2014 when Jeremy, Moods, and myself decided that we was going to take a break from recording the 22 Shots of Moods and Horror podcast in order to go live lives out in the summertime. Unfortunately, I didn't really have anything going on that summer. All I did was work and watch horror movies. So I kind of wanted to stay podcasting, so I decided to create a side project, which didn't really last that long, so some of you probably are not that familiar with it, but I thought it was an interesting concept and idea for a show. Every week it was a double feature review focusing on two films that had some kind of common theme or element, such as New York Horror, where we reviewed Chud and Basket Case, and also each week we had a special guest co-host. On the sixth episode, it was supposed to be Moods. Unfortunately, we watched the films, we was ready to record, and my original co-host was unable to make it, so me and Moods just sat around and talked on Skype, like we always do. The theme was supposed to be baby horror, and the films were supposed to be The Baby from 1973 and Grace from 2009. So we started talking about the films, and Moods was unaware, but I was recording the conversation. So we always kind of have these conversations where it's very natural and we feel like we're just talking about films, and they end up being decent conversations, and this was one of the better ones. So I was kind of glad that I had it recorded. The discussion on The Baby from 1973 is a pretty good look at the film, and I think we really covered everything that happened in the film, everything that it really was supposed to be. And we managed to stay semi-spoiler free on this one. Grace, we had a bit of a shorter discussion, but both of these films, I ended up asking Moods what he would have rated them anyways. So it's kind of like two featured reviews on this little bonus episode. It runs a little over a half hour long, or around a half hour. So I hope you guys enjoy this little bonus content, and we'll be back again strong next week. See you guys later.
Initially, when I first popped it in, I wasn't even sure where it was going. I was like, okay, this is like a Lifetime film, because that's what the YouTube video said, but I wasn't like sure. I couldn't find it. I like searched it and seen if I could find any like correlation to like Lifetime.
Yeah.
And I couldn't. So I don't really know what that's about. Maybe it aired on Lifetime at one point in time. It seems like it might. Yeah. But, you know, it starts off normal enough. And then it's like, it's not an actual baby, which is like kind of like a little jarring and surprising when I first noticed that. Definitely a weird fucking film. What did you like? What is your like just first?
This movie was nothing like what I expected it to be, but you know, I knew it was going somewhere by the end of the film, and I was like, hey, there's something. I kept saying to myself when I was watching the film, there's something wrong with like the social worker.
Yeah.
Right, I felt like there was, she was pushing the it too much.
Mm-hmm. It know, didn't, the, and it, and when people asked her about it, it wasn't like she was like giving like a direct answer, like this is just like, you know, I need to save this baby or something. You know, it's not like It's not like she's given just like, she's kind of hinting at like the fact that that's what she wants to do. Like she wants to save him from his parents, but she never really like makes that like very vocal that that's her goal. So it does seem like there's some underlying thing there.
Well, there totally is. But there's parts in the film that totally release the fact that she is nuts because there's a part where, you know, she claims that her husband is dead, right? And she's talking with the babysitter and shit. That was the babysitter from the fucking beginning of the film. The one that was putting her tit in her fucking mouth.
Yeah, which was a fucking weird scene, man.
Yeah, dude, that was such a fucking weird scene. But anyways, it turns out that it was like her fucking housekeeper or whatever. Like, she actually lived with her.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? But anyways, but there's parts in the film where, you know, she tells that creepy dude when he's hitting on her. She's like, oh, I'm happily married. You know, my husband just had an accident and stuff. And like, so she's totally plain. Like, we're supposed to think that her husband's dead, right? And then she's just kind of, you know, maybe she's saying this because the guy's like, you know, hitting on her and stuff like that. But you can honestly believe in her mind that she honestly thinks that her husband's alive, which we find out that he actually is alive, you know, by the end of the film. And it's like, but there's just certain moments in the film that totally make it seem like there's something completely fucking wrong with this woman.
Yeah. So what year was this? 1973, which is such a, like an odd, it kind of is like surprising that this film came out there. Like when you watch it, it makes sense. But I mean, like the tone and the topics and some of the scenes, it's like, it's a little risque and taboo for the time.
There's so much weird sexual undertones in this film that never were fully explored.
Yeah.
Because there's a scene where the baby, the man child, I could call him in my mind, in my notes, I kept writing man child. There's a scene where they put him to bed and then one of the sisters basically strips down and jumps into bed with him.
Yeah. And when that scene first happened, I was like, oh man, dude. And then, I was like, oh, dude, she's like molesting her little baby brother. And then I'm like, well, he is kind of like of age. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. That's still her brother.
Yeah. Supposed to be like biological siblings. And I was like, what the fuck? Right.
Yeah.
So that was only kind of explored right there. I mean, there's other moments in the film that kind of give you that indication that there is other sexual undertones and maybe some other kind of incestual relations is happening with the family and stuff. But it never gets really fully explored. I wish they had have explored and exploited that more because I think it would have taken the focus off. I think it would have taken the focus less off the social worker that you're already kind of hinting at, like she's fucking nuts. There's something wrong with her. So you're focusing, you're like, okay. And by the end of the film, when you know, the whole shit goes down, it didn't really surprise me because I was like, I knew something was going to happen with her.
Yeah.
Right. And I didn't expect her husband to be a man boy too. Like
that was the surprise, but you do have a feeling like something's up.
Yeah, that she's going to start attacking, like when she kills all the women and shit. I was like, okay, you know, I kind of seen that happening. But the, you know, she basically just wanted her husband to have a playmate.
Yeah, but it also, the sexual undertones are definitely there. And it's not only with the family. Like, you see at the end how she kisses the husband and the baby.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
She kisses them, like, right on the lips. Like, it's kind of a little weird.
And that made me wonder, you know, okay, so the babysitter that put her tit in the man-child's mouth at the beginning of the film, she is the, you know, the housekeeper for that social worker or whatever. She's in that house. What was their relationship?
I don't know.
Was there supposed to be some type of, like, subliminal message there that they were kind of working together? Because why else would her housekeeper have been the fucking babysitter at that house? Just by chance or coincidence? I think not. That can't be a coincidence, right?
Yeah, so like, how much does the baby actually know? Like, because it's never really...
Yeah, they definitely don't explore that, but I honestly truly think that the baby actually is a fucking full-blown man-child. Okay. Like, I don't think the baby really knows anything, and I think that was... They never hinted otherwise. Like, there was never, you know, points in the film where the baby was just like, you know, had this, like, authentic smile and was like totally fucking around, yeah. Right?
Well, he said the only scene that I can think of that like really kind of shows there's some intelligence there is when he's playing with the ball with the social worker, and then the mother gives him that like look like better not do anything, you know, to show that you are not a baby. And then after she leaves, she's real mad. And the kid, the man child, realizes that he did something bad. Cause he says mama. And then he's like, you know, looks sad. And then like, they also say that to keep him like a baby, they like torture him, like, you know, keep it repressed by like punishing him every time he, and if you think if they did that from when he was a baby, it would kind of keep him as a baby.
Oh no, totally. Totally. They never explore the fact that the kid actually really has mental issues. He might have just been always like that because of how he was raised and stuff. But that brings up the other question about like why the fact that they are keeping him a baby. I mean, it's obviously explored in the film a little bit with one of the sisters when she completely gets naked and jumps into bed with him.
Also,
but they don't support more. So like, is the mom and the other sister, are they molesting the kid too, or using him as a cock, is basically what I was thinking of, right? Like they were using him as like a live human dildo.
Yeah.
Like and I was like, this is really fucking bizarre. This is such a weird premise for a film.
The only thing else that the social worker did, her theory behind it was that the mother had male issues with her husband's leaving her and stuff, so she just took it out on the kid. But we never have that explained from the mother's side, so that's just a theory.
Oh no, totally, totally. She just says, "Oh yeah, my husband couldn't deal with it or whatever." And then, yeah, I mean, that could be why that she took it. Maybe all of her frustrations.
Do you get the vibe that, you know, back to the whole like sexual undertone thing, do you get the vibe that the mother is like a swinger or like an orgier or something, like at that party?
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, her mom's definitely not into, or she's into, yeah, that type of lifestyle for sure. I mean, it was pretty evident though. Like, I know that the child's like a man, but like he's like at the party and they're kind of doing adult things. There's drinking, there's doing drugs and potentially orgying. Yeah, I totally see it. Like that's exactly what was kind of going on there.
Yeah, so sure. I think with all of those like sexual undertones that it does like imply that the family is kind of using the brother/son as a human dildo.
But it does make sense though, because they really push the fact of like, why are you over here this much? You're putting your nose into our business. Like they're hiding something, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if they could just play it off like, you know, he is really mentally disabled, but they don't want anyone to find out that there's something there. So they are hiding the fact that they are using him as a fucking dick.
And you know what? I just thought of another reason. The scene when the babysitter has the tit in the man child's mouth, like, first of all, he kind of initiates it, which is weird because, you know, it's like, I don't know what they're trying to say there. Does that say that he is intelligent, or does it say that he's used to doing this?
No, that's how
instinct.
I totally think it's because that's what he's used to.
Okay, and then second, when the mother comes home and busts him, she's very angry, but it's not in like a, like you molesting my son way. It's in a like mother or like female alpha female versus like, you know, someone coming near her like her man. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of more of like a
totally.
Like anger that like she's fucking trying like messing with. Like her shit.
Yeah, completely. Such a fucking, what a weird film. Weird fucking movie. Like
it is so weird.
It's been a pretty good conversational piece with three people because there's so many things that aren't given to you straight up. And it's basically would have been a lot of theory talk. Like, okay, this is kind of relatable to this, you know, and then there's a lot of theory behind this because they don't give you a lot.
And it's from of the time, too, where you don't have to explain every little fucking thing.
Yeah, that's what made these movies so good, though. Like, it's a pretty good film because it doesn't spoon-feed you anything.
And there's a lot left to your interpretation. Like, a lot. Like, the whole film, pretty much.
Yeah, and it kind of made me wonder, like, you know, at the end, after the two man children meet up and they're all buddies and stuff. Like, what is her intentions now?
Yeah. Is like, she going to look for another one or like, yeah, is she just gonna
start having relations with, you know, like orgies with two baby man child. It's like, it's so weird, man. Like, ah, fucking weird. It's so trippy.
It is very, very weird. But overall, man, did you like it? I mean,
I did like it, actually. I really liked it. I thought it was, you know, like I said, it was one of those movies where you know something drastic is going to happen by the end of the film, hence her basically murdering all the women and then exposing her her hidden gem of a husband. Like, I knew something major was going to happen, but there was a lot of buildup and stuff. And so the film is a little slower throughout the movie, but it does have a lot of, it has a lot of stuff that's going on that keeps you thinking. Yeah. Right? Because you're trying to figure things out as it moves along. So it actually does work as a movie. And the payoff is brilliant.
It's like, not a very long film either.
No, totally. It's only about 84 minutes. But I think the payoff is worth the whole film. Because to see that husband come out, you're just like, oh, that totally made the whole movie. Like, I didn't see that shit coming.
And you do have a handful of scenes that are, like, what the fuck moments to, like, keep you going through the film, you know? Like, the scene where the sister comes in and drops her clothes and gets in the fucking crib with the kid. It's like...
Yeah, yeah.
That's a little weird.
Well, the one scene that I was not confused about, but I was intrigued on what they were actually going to do with her is when they tie up the social worker downstairs when they drug her. Or they get her all drunk at the party. And they tie her up in the basement. And then... she obviously escapes, but what their actual intentions were, because were they planning on killing her? Because they said, like, when they found, or when they went downstairs and realized that she'd escaped, they're like, holy shit, and they had to track her down. But, like, were they actually going to kill her?
That's what I was kind of wondering, too, because if they were, why wouldn't they have just killed her?
Exactly my point. Why did they just kill her? Why were they going to tie her up and then put her downstairs and then kill her? Because they didn't seem like the type of people that were going to, you know, actually... you know, commit premeditated murder. Like, they seem like they were sick in the head sexually. And that's maybe, I thought that they were kind of leaning towards like maybe a sexual type torture thing. But I think they kind of hinted like that they were going to kill her. Cause they said, let's go get her. Let's go do this right now. The mom says, let's get this over with. Hence, that's pretty short for let's go kill her right now.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, they're just going to kill her? I'm like, it just seems so drastic considering they don't seem like the type of people, but maybe I was maybe overlooking something. But dude, I swear to Christ, I laughed so fucking hard in the next scene though. So when they realize that she'd actually escaped the house, they jump in the car and then they get about 10 feet and they're like, oh, what the fuck? So they stop the car and they look. And she'd slashed the tire, right? And she's like, oh, she slashed the tire. And the mom is like dead serious. And she's like looking at her daughter and she goes, ah, she thinks of everything. I literally was laughing so fucking loud watching.
You know what scene was like weird to me was when the one daughter and that like guy and she's like talking about like cannibals or something. I was like, this is not sexy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like that was not sexy at all. I think that overall, like, even for some of the slow moments, like, I feel like the end in the house, creeping around the corners and up the stairs and stuff, I thought that was a little slower than I would like. But overall, man, I gotta say, I pretty much enjoyed it the whole time through.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, it was just you just really wanted to get to the end of this film, like not in a bad way, but you really wanted to find out what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
You knew something was going on, and I like that about it.
And you know what? I like the mother character's like performance. Like she had like that like just tone to her voice and
she was like a major heavy smoker because she's got that raspy voice.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen other films before, actually.
But this is one of those films that like came out in the 70s that it kind of gets buried and like it's just one that when you finally see it's like you know nobody really talks about this one but it's a weird movie it's a weird movie that probably should be talked about a little more.
There's a lot of films from like that era, like the early 70s, that are really bizarro like this. One of the very first reviews I ever did on The Fright 2 was a movie called Private Parts. I don't know if you ever remember watching that one.
Yeah, I remember you doing that one.
it's about from the same era. It's like from 73, 74, and it's really, really fucking weird like this. And there's just something about that time period that's really fucking cool, actually. Like, they had some really unique and weird ideas, but this one lumps right into that time
period. But that's the thing, though. I mean, they get buried for some reason, though. Like they're underseen and not a lot of people know about them, and, like, you never hear people they're not, like, held as, like even cult films, usually. You know, they're just like buried until, you know, they get a release or something, and then they get talked about a little bit more and then forgotten again.
I swear I even said that when I reviewed Private Parts 2. It's one of those films that I've never heard anyone talk about. It's like so weird. You never even see people show it.
Have you heard anybody talk about The Baby?
Never. I never even knew. I mean, I've heard of this movie before because I think it had somebody else release this movie years ago. But I've never seen anyone, like, talk about it or review it or anything. But, no, because I'd looked up, you know, I'm always looking for themes and stuff like that. And I'd come to my mind of doing child's, like, killer children.
Yeah.
Films and stuff. I know you're not the biggest fan, but I'm always intrigued. But I think children that kill is so fucking scary. Because that's something that you could totally fall victim to because you trust a kid, right? You wouldn't think they're going to fucking stick you. So I think that's kind of scary. So I was looking for themes or films to do with a theme, and I came across this film. And but it just because it was called The Baby, it has nothing to do with children killers.
Yeah, and when I decided that I wanted to do this on the podcast, it was, you know, baby horror. And, like, I thought the film called The Baby would, like, I was pretty damn sure it was going to be about a you know, killer baby or something, but not really. But it still qualifies as, like, baby horror in a way.
The interesting thing about these picks for this week is that neither one of these films is about a killer baby.
No. Racist. Which normally they're not. But, like, when it has to do with a baby and horror, it's usually not a killer. It's just...
But I think, honestly, this is a good companion piece. Like, Grace and the Baby, this was a pretty cool double feature. I watched these back-to-back today, and I was, like, I was pretty entertained for 3 hours. Like, totally two totally different fucking type of films. Like, insanely different.
So what would you rate The Baby?
I give it a 7.
7? Me too, dude. I was totally right there. 7. Yeah. So, and then, Grace.
Grace,
2008, I believe. Am I right on that?
I think so. Yeah, 2008. It says she's released in 2009, but 2008.
Yeah, 2009. It's officially released.
This is an interesting fucking movie.
Have you seen it before?
Yeah. This is the second time I've watched it, actually.
Me too. Adam McGreen produced, which is weird.
Yeah, the first time I watched this movie, I had no idea. I actually thought this movie was kind of like It's Alive.
Oh, really?
Like, I kind of thought it was something like that. So when I was watching, I was like, man, this movie's nothing like what I thought it was going to be. Very interesting premise. So your thoughts on the part where she gives birth to her dead baby, which has been dead for weeks. So she basically resurrects the baby with her love, right?
You can take it like that. I took it as
both times I've watched it.
I've took it as kind of like, okay, I took it as more like a unexplained kind of, this thing is like not like full, like something happened to where, like, there might not even be an explanation. Like, it just kind of exists, and it's not supposed to exist.
The reason why I just remember reading the tagline on here where it says love undying. So, cause there is a part when she's, the midwife is watching her, and she's like, hey man, she's like, you know, you can't bring back the child.
You can't will a baby back to life. You can't
will a baby back to life. And then, of course, the baby comes back to life. And, like, instantly there, I was like, well, that has everything to do with her, like, undying love.
Yeah, I mean, I got to be 100% honest. I never even, like, considered that. I never really thought about, like how it came back to life. Like, Like, I just thought that it was something left unexplained. Like it's not necessarily, like, it could be that it was, like, never dead and pest fucked up, but obviously it, like, is, like, but, undead. I honestly just didn't put enough thought into it. It just never crossed my mind to think about it. But what you're saying is probably the right answer. I just never thought of it.
And it's interesting because, you know, see, the way I look at it and the reason why, like, she resurrects this baby with her undying love for the child. And, but there's always consequences. It's kind of like the monkey's paw, right?
Yeah.
What you wish for with the monkey's paw, you will get, but there's consequences to it, right? So basically, this is kind of the same premise. So if you're going to wish this child back to life or love this child so much and it comes back to life, it's not without consequences. And I think what happens here is the child comes back to life as a normal looking baby, but we know that baby's not.
Is this a zombie baby?
It is. It's basically a zombie baby because there's times in the film when she takes the temperature and the temperature's like 93, like you're dead. If you're 93 degrees, you're fucking dead.
Yeah. And
there's no question about that. And it shows that. And then she's like, remember, she's like throws down the thing. She's like, oh, it's fucking broken. And then the baby starts basically kind of having reactions to her milk and stuff because the baby needs blood to live off of.
Yeah.
Right. And then it gets to the point by the end of the film, obviously, that the baby needs like flesh, like actually started eating the mom and stuff. And I was like, fuck, man.
What I thought of this as, like, when you asked, you know, like what is it? Like, I thought of it in the same thing as Dead Girl. And I even watching this film, I've thought of Dead Girl a few times while watching it because, like, in my head, Dead Girl, the girl wasn't, like, a zombie that somebody captured and tied down. It's just, like, she exists. Like, I never really thought of how she got there. It's just, yeah, like, she's just a zombie type thing. But, yeah, it kind of reminded me of, like, the same type of thing as Dead Girl.
Yeah. Yeah, it's this movie is very interesting to me too because there's some things in this movie that I don't fully understand that you could probably shed some light on if you caught on to it at all. But there's a really weird kind of undertone in this film. I mean, it's not an undertone; it's pretty blatant that the midwife is a lesbian and she's got a lesbian helper, and they've obviously had some issues in the past that maybe they were a couple and they broke up and whatnot and stuff like that. But there's a point in the film where, you know, the midwife has this thing for the mom.
Yeah.
Right. But where does that come from? Was the mom into it?
Well, I think it all goes back to that picture.
Yeah.
And I get the sense that they had a lesbian relationship in the past together.
That's what I was kind of getting at too, and I was hoping that was the explanation, or I just missed something.
And she never moved on. The midwife never moved on.
Okay, so that makes sense then, because I was like, well, she's been married to this guy, and like all of a sudden she's just going to jump ship after he dies, and I'm like, I don't think that really works like that, because they didn't show anything either.
Yeah.
So the picture is from a previous relationship, like pre-husband kind of thing. That makes a lot more sense, and actually makes everything a lot better and clearer for me.
This film, to me, I don't know what the fuck it is about it, but it makes me so uneasy and just weird.
Why? You know why?
Why?
Because this movie is so fucking quiet. This movie has no emotion in the soundtrack. It has nothing to drive you. It has no building suspense. It's fucking dry and it's uneasy. It makes it uneasy because generally when you're watching a film and you hear a score, you either get into it like, you know, you get kind of hyped up or, you know, it's building up to moments and stuff. This movie doesn't have any of that. It's just like, what the fuck's with this baby? And it's very quiet.
For some reason, like the scene where she, there's a fly and she like goes to change the baby's diaper because it's all smelly and then there's nothing in the diaper and she smells the baby and is like and gets that like weird look on her face, like it just smells. For some reason that just fucking like makes me feel so weird and like uneasy and like queasy. Yeah. And just like, I don't know, man. It
because it gets you thinking, right? Because she's confused because like, why does this baby smell so bad? But at that moment you know that baby's rotting.
Like, yeah, the baby, it's like dead.
So hence the flies. The flies are the obvious giveaway, but
But it's just something about, like, her smelling the baby and, like, and knowing that it, like, smells real bad, but, like, there's no, like, flesh wound or anything like that. It's just something about it, like, makes me feel, like, uneasy.
I think it's totally, yeah, you know, it does for me, too, but I even, like, thought about it. Even the first time I watched this film, I was like, man, this movie's so quiet, it doesn't have an aggressive score at all. It's so haunting and eerie because it's just them.
Yeah, and I think that definitely is, like, the reason, too. But, like, that combined with her, like, sniffing the baby, and it's just, like, quiet, and she's, like, sniffing the baby, and it smells, and it's just, like, what the fuck?
Dude, this would have been a really good show, man. We could have some good conversations, because there's some other fucking undertones in this film that are so fucking weird. Okay, the mom actually says at one point in this film that her husband was breastfed until he was 3 years old, hence the mom being kind of a weird
and then stuff. The mom,
her mom was still able to pump milk because she either pumped herself for all those years, but there was even a scene where her husband was even sucking the milk out of her tits in bed. I'm like, what the fuck is, so the husband's obviously part of that, like, he's not just gonna suck milk and be like, hey, where'd that come from?
Yeah, and he tries to, like, do other stuff, and she's just like, nope, this is what I want.
So, like, there's that whole kind of, it's kind of like storyline. You know, it's like a parallel storyline. Like, the mom brings her baby back with her undying love, but the mother of her dead husband has that same kind of, like, you know, craziness for kids and stuff, because she was obviously a little nuts herself. Who breastfeeds their kid until they're 3 years old? Like, yeah. That's fucked. So I can see the parallel kind of themes there that's going on. Because the older mother totally thinks that, you know, that she's fucking nuts. Like, the blonde, I can't remember her fucking name, so bad with names, but she thinks that she's crazy as shit. But in reality, she's just as fucking nuts. She's been pumping her breast milk for fucking 30-something years.
Yeah, and obviously she's looking for a replacement because she lost her son.
Oh, totally. And that's why she hires the doctor to go in there and be like, oh, you got to do all these tests. Like, this girl's crazy. You know, and she's trying to steal the baby, hence the whole fucking shit at the end. But
yeah, and the scenes with the blood, man, that also really gets to me. I don't know what it is, like, feeding the baby blood. I'm not, like, a baby guy. Like, I don't know why it's making me feel so uncomfortable, but, like, I, like, get to the point where, like, I want to look away a little bit. Like, it just really, like, gets under my skin for some reason. Like, when she's draining all the blood from the beef into the bottle.
I was just going to say that part actually made me gag a little bit, too. That's disgusting. That's so fucking gross, man. Ugh.
I think this film's a bit underrated. Like, I didn't love it the first time I seen it, and I saw that it had problems. Especially the one scene that I really dislike is the final, very end scene with the CGI and stuff. I just thought it was a bit too much.
I literally have that written down in my notes. I said, holy man, shoddy CGI on the boob. Why would they CGI that?
And also, why? Like, it was just too much. It's like, that's not real. Like, even if they did, like, practical it and make it, like, that much gone, it's too much.
Yeah. But, I mean, she does say right before she shows her tit, she's like, she's teething.
Yeah, but don't you think it was just too much flesh gone for it to be, like, her sitting there calm?
Half her tit was, oh, for sure.
Like, if there was, like, just a big chunk taken out, not a big chunk, but, like, a small baby mouth, like, chunk, like, I could get with that.
You know, the interesting thing about this movie is that they left it open for, like, a total sequel. Like, they could have a little, like, you know, you could technically, of course, make a sequel to, like, anything. But this one, you know, it's funny, man. Like, when the midwife walks in and she's got, like, that short blonde hair, I didn't even recognize her at first. I'm like, holy fuck. But that was a weird moment, too, because they both had changed their looks and stuff. Like, obviously, they had to change their looks because all that shit went down. Like, the doctor was dead.
But I also think way they changed the looks to, like, a lesbian butch look is saying something also. And it's not just saying they're together.
No, they're back together. I think that's what it is. Like, they're, you know, they're a couple, man.
Yeah, but I also just think that it seems like there might be something else to it, too, just because, like, why are they both, like, just the butch look?
Yeah. I don't know. I think a lot had to do, they wanted to change the looks up drastically just because they were basically on the run now. Yeah. No matter how you look at it, they're on the run because, well, everyone's fucking dead. I mean, they're going to find it eventually.
We haven't even mentioned, like, the whole, like, thing about this film is it's the mother who can't let go of the child. She had miscarriages before. She can't let go, and she's so stuck on having this baby that it literally drives her crazy, and she will do anything, no matter how fucking crazy and weird it is, because that's the only thing she's clinging on to. It's the only thing that she wants. It's the only thing she's living for. It's the only speed that her brain is going is baby.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can even see that she's completely out of it. Like, she doesn't even fucking know anything besides, like, the baby. Yeah. And she looks haggard as fuck.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that she's doesn't really want to accept or doesn't know what's going on with the baby, because, I mean, she knows by taking a temperature and the baby stinks. Like, all the obvious signs are there that this baby's not alive.
But she's, like kind of blocking it out.
Exactly. Like, so she's just kind of like, oh, well, I'm going to deal with it this way.
And I even think there's a point where she said, like, when she gets caught doing the blood thing or something, she says something along the lines of, like, it needs some, like, it has to be fed special or something. Like, she looks at it like it's just, like, a special thing. It's not, like, wrong or like, anything like that. It's just, like, this baby is special.
Yeah.
I think the director of this film, because, like, Adam Green doesn't really produce films. He produced this one. I think it's one of his only producing credits outside of his own work.
Yeah.
But I think I remember hearing a story about this guy had this made a short film of Grace, and then he wrote a complete, like, full feature-length script, and he just would be at, like, every convention Adam would be at, and he would be, like, you know, like, trying to sell his script, you know, trying to show people, trying to do this. And I do want to say that Arescope, Adam's company, got involved before Adam did, but Adam got behind the project, I think, because, like, he saw the drive and the guy, like, really wanting to get his film made.
Yeah. That's pretty interesting.
But there is a commentary on the Blu-ray with Adam. There's two commentaries. One of them's with Adam, and I would like to hear that. But the Blu-ray is awful. I don't know if you have the DVD or the Blu-ray, but it is so damn grainy, the Blu-ray.
DVD. You know what? Oh, the DVD, it actually doesn't look that bad.
I love the cover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the cover, too. It's got that fly on the top of the nipple.
Yeah, with the blood in the baby bottle.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got all the same special features on here, too, actually. But yeah, it's interesting film. I fucking hated that. Like, the last scene in the film that you see is, like, this poorly CGI'd fucking half-gnarled-up tit. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? Like, that's such a bad way of ending the film.
Yeah, and I think that was, like, the like, key flaw in the film was just the ending. It kind of leave the film on a bad note.
Yeah, I think there's enough strong points in this film. This film very, you know, very much felt like, I don't know, like, kind of on the same level as The Baby for me. Like, if you had to rate this one, what did you rate this?
I gave it a 7.
I gave it a 7, too.
Yeah.
Because it feels like, I know the ending, obviously, in The Baby is way fucking better than Grace. But there's enough pretty cool, strong points.
Yeah, and I think that the
same level of film.
The dynamic between the baby and the mother, I think, is really done strongly. Like, the acting is good. You really feel, like, the desperation in the mother to just have that baby and you know, not care about it at all, like, about, like, the flaws and the shit that's going wrong, and she just only cares about having that baby.
Yeah. I do gotta say, though, man, the baby that they used right when she gives birth fucking looked pretty damn real.
Yeah, I think, like, for the most part, like, all the baby stuff was done pretty well.
Yeah, it was, actually.
Ooh, the scene where she's bathing it, man, that, like, got under my skin, too. And it's, like, skin, if the water starts turning bloody and shit, I'm like,
ugh. Yeah. Yeah, man, fucking baby's rotting. Ugh.
I don't get really uneasy in films, but this one really does make me very uneasy feeling. like a lot of the film. It's weird. It's weird to me. I don't can't really pinpoint why.
Yeah, for me, I kind of felt uncomfortable at times watching this film too, and I chalk it up to like it just being so damn somber feeling.
Yeah, that is definitely a part, but it's also what I'm actually seeing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, both it is like a nice little double feature, though.
Yeah.
I recommend both of them, especially Grace. You can get really cheap now.
Yeah, I picked this one up for a couple bucks, I think, actually, on DVD.
I seen that The Baby was put out in a Blu-ray triple pack also with Bloody Birthday and another film from the 70s, I think.
Yeah, Bloody Birthday and what was it like? Dead Kids? Is it like Strange Behavior? All these separate that just came out?
I don't know. It might be.